Hello and welcome back to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host Luke Elder. As ever, I'm joined by my fellow gamers friend Son of Perks. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, good. Good.
All things considered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, self-isolation.
It continues.
It does continue. It does. And yeah, we hope if you're listening that you're all, you know, obviously healthy and doing well in this time of times of uncertainty. So luckily, I guess for us, we are gamers. Gives us a little slight edge, I guess.
I mean, it's just no change to everyday life, to be fair.
I don't really know what else I'd do. I don't know what I used to.
I'd be lost.
Especially when you can't go out. Like, it's fine. Like, if it's just normal times, like, you can go and exercise, you can go and do whatever, you work, obviously, do other things. But when it's like this, what else are you supposed to do? Like, watch Netflix, I guess. But, I mean...
I'm with you, mate.
Read a book, maybe.
I can't read, you know, so I'd be screwed. No.
Mate, you can't read.
Like, you must be able to read, surely.
I just become ill.
Education,
every time I start to read, I just fall ill. Book flaps on, drops on my hand.
No, but you know what I mean. In general, though, it's like I don't really know what else people are doing.
No, I know.
I don't get it. Maybe honestly, we're just like nerds or something. I don't know, but I just don't really get it.
I'm counting my blessings that I'm a gamer because it's given me something. I'm lucky enough that I work from home anyway. But
that is true.
Having gaming, like you touched on, no, I'd be screwed as well. However, this has given us the chance as well to play some old games because we like to talk about what we've been playing at the start of an episode, and we've gone back to the OG of Gears of War.
Yeah, Gears of War.
3v3.
Yeah, it's been fun, to be fair. It's been a nice throwback, hasn't it?
I've enjoyed it, mate. We've been playing with the Parry Bros and Matty, who were on last week's show.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Fidelios.
I mean, I didn't want to bring him up in case Bergs was still...
We literally just started to talk about it. We don't need to bring him up already.
Oh, we had to bring him up. He's been a big part of the last couple of days.
It took like three minutes of the show to bring me down. Good job.
Yeah, we
you're
should
in a good
touch
mood,
on it.
Why not?
Perks is probably the best. It's between him and Mai. And we got a randomer when we needed one. Obviously, people drop off early and stuff. And turns out that his name was Fidelios, and he has Perks' number.
Fidelios, I think, has everybody's number. Like, he's... Wow, yeah. I mean, 15 years ago, I would have felt confident against Fidelios, but not these days.
No.
If he's listening in his favela in Portugal, good job, my dude. It's unplayable.
Oh, mate, he's good. He is good at the game, though.
He's exceptionally good.
But, you know, I think it's been good. It's passed the time well as well, hasn't it? It's been a fun game to play in the evenings when everyone's on.
It still holds up pretty well considering it's like...
It does, I think. I mean, it's obviously... It's funny because you go to Gears 5 and, I mean, the advancements are... when you actually think it's massive, the advancements really, when you go back to Gears 1 now, how clunky Gears 1 feels. But it's a great game at its core, isn't it, at the end of the day? The gameplay loops so fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the actual jankiness of the game actually kind of... I don't know, it gives something to the game somehow, doesn't it? Like, it adds something to the multiplayer.
Helps Perkins out when you're trying to run from him and he's trying to chainsaw you.
Chainsawed left, right, and center.
The panic when you're running away and getting stuck and you can just hear ring, ring, behind you.
Gears 1 as well also has them, like, dark corners. So it makes it way better for chainsawing. Like, and the other Gears are, like, it's a lot lighter, aren't they, the game, so it's harder, but...
Yeah.
On Gears 1, it's got lots of dark areas where you can just hide and stuff.
We've even gone back to playing in game chat, haven't we? And we didn't realise how bad that was.
Well, the game chat's terrible. Although, I do think that the fact that we're playing through Xbox One...
Yeah, with the emulator,
be one of the reasons.
It doesn't help, but I still...
The game chat obviously wasn't great.
It's not as, like... No. Fair enough, it's good. Bad through the emulator.
It's not as good.
But it's still bad on the original. Like, you go back and try it, it's not much
I'm sure
better.
It wasn't great, no. No, probably not, but it just adds more muffle and it's sometimes it's annoying, but...
I think it adds to it, though. It definitely
adds to the tension of the game and the excitement when you're just making call-outs, talking randomly, and all of a sudden someone's voice disappears mid-call-out, or you hear them scream as they're getting chainsawed away.
Mate, and yeah. I can't tell you how many times, just say, like, I'm in a 2v1 against Perks, and me and the other guy, might be Sud or one of the Parry Bros or mine, and you're just like, right, be careful sprinting around here. Because he just hid with his chainsaw waiting.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have got well,
That's how it be. Over 5,500 chainsaw kills.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. I mean, you as well, Luke. We played some Halo, didn't we? Played some Halo Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, we went back to... Well, I say went back. I don't think I ever really played.
You went for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. This is new to me. But yeah, I mean, it's one of your favourites, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's Halo, isn't it? Not much more to say about the multiplayer in Halo. It's great. So, I mean, it's hard. Like, people are good.
Oh, it's definitely
tough.
Hard if you play
I mean,
ranked.
We played that one rank match, didn't we? And we got absolutely... Yeah. Did we get like 8 kills and they got 50 or something? It was ridiculous.
Yeah, we got destroyed.
That's why I wasn't so hot on going back to Halo myself and why I haven't re-downloaded it yet. That's exactly what I imagined. Just getting tanked in every game and it doesn't appeal.
But, we play player match now,
but
whatever it's called.
Yeah, player match is social and that's a lot better. Obviously, you got more of a chance than that. We have won quite a few. We're playing free-for-all as well, haven't we? Which is quite fun.
That's been fun, but if you'd like that.
Free-for-all's probably actually... been the most fun that we've had. Especially when you play with like 3 or 4 people you know.
Yeah, because it was me, you, the Parry Bros, and Fidelios, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Perks, I actually didn't come last. I finished third in one game, and I came fifth.
Yeah, we got on to play Halo.
After you went off.
My God.
I spoke to him over the game chat. I was like, Fidelios, have you got Halo? Go over to the COG team. And he went straight over. He was like, do you want to play? Go to the Locust team. Straight over. So he brought him with us.
So he knew, yeah.
Wow.
So. He wasn't as good at Halo. I don't know if that makes you...
That is reassuring. Yeah. Perhaps I'll drop in sometime.
You should. It has been fun. And I don't even like Halo that much, and I've had fun with it, so...
No, it's been fun, to be fair. It's been really good. I've also been playing Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
Yeah, bringing it back to the current gen.
Yeah, bit of a newer game. It came out last Friday, so... Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's Doom, basically. If you've played Doom 2016, you know what you're getting. Because it's kind of more of the same, but I'd say more of the same, but probably onto an even greater level in terms of the madness of the game. Like, it feels even faster. A lot more enemies on screen, a lot more cool things you can do, a lot more weapons, variety in weapons, stuff like that. The areas are cool. I mean, if you're used to that, if you're used to Doom, if you played the first one, you're going to like it, I think. I do have a bit of a gripe, though. I'm getting towards the end game now, and one of the gripes I do have with the game, I mean, a lot of people have had a gripe with the platforming. A lot of people have said it's a bit clunky, but I think that's because platforming in first person is always a bit clunky, isn't it? To be honest, like, you know, third person platforming is obviously fine because that's where most platformers are. But when you go into first person, you start platforming, it is a bit awkward. So people have had a problem with that. I don't think it's too bad, but my problem with the game, and a lot of people have also echoed this, is there's a certain enemy that you fight, you fight one at first as like a boss, and then they become like regular enemies towards the end of the game, and they are just awful to fight. They're just not fun whatsoever. And they kind of break up the rhythm of the game. Because the game Doom's kind of about fast pace, isn't it? And getting through enemies quickly and
shooting
as many
as
you can. Yeah,
you're not really supposed to be stopping and peeking.
No. And this certain enemy, it's called the Marauder. It's not really a spoiler, it's called the Marauder. People who have played the game will know which enemy I'm talking about. It has like a massive shield. It has like this weird ghost dog thing that keeps attacking you as well. It goes invisible. It like teleports. It's so much health. It's horrendous to fight. Kind of... I wouldn't say ruining the game because I'm still getting through it, but it's dampening my experience a little bit because it just kind of feels like, I don't know if this enemy really suits the sort of game Doom is. So that's a bit of an error, I think, on their part. But yeah, I know you're obviously going to end up playing it eventually, Perks. So I'm sure you're still looking forward to the game, but I would warn against that particular enemy because it's annoying.
By the time I get around to playing it, it may have changed. If there's like,
maybe.
Vocal call for it to be nerfed or underpowered a little bit more than it currently sounds. I do think if it breaks the immersion and it makes you peak walls and peak covers and things like that, then it probably shouldn't have been designed that way. But yeah,
it's
mean,
not really about peaking
I guess
walls,
you're not playing
more...
on nightmare difficulty either. So.
No, I'm playing on the easiest difficulty. You know what end games are like. Like yeah. No, really, like I mean even on easy they can be tough at times, so there's no way I'm playing anything other than that. But yeah, I mean I can't even imagine them enemies on a harder difficulty.
Like, yeah, I mean, I was going to ask, like, how difficult are they in terms of the damage they deal? Because obviously you're going to be getting, like, one banged on Nightmare, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They deal quite a lot of damage. It's not really how much damage they deal. It's the fact that when they spawn, you've got loads of other enemies as well. It's kind of an accumulative effect. And just the right. fact that they take so long to kill just, you know, adds to the sort of annoyance, really. Obviously, like, you know, if you chainsaw an enemy, stuff like that... glory kill and things like that, then you're gaining your health back, but there's just times where you get it trapped in corners and it's just a bit annoying, really, you know. But
well, that was going to be my next question on the glory kill. I mean, generally in my memory of Doom 2016 was that every enemy had a weak spot and you didn't really have to that much to end up proccing them to be available for glory kills. So is there something like that with the Marauder, or is it like you don't get to perform a glory kill against them?
You do get to pull them a glory kill, but it's after about 3 or 4 minutes of shooting them. It's just an accumulative effect.
So
it just takes
no
ages
weak
to kill
spot
them.
To take it down.
Not really, no, because they've got a huge shield. I mean, there's times where like it'll drop its shield like literally a second, and obviously you do a bit of damage to it then. And you can kind of like try and counter it, which kind of works sometimes, but it's a bit hit and miss. But yeah, it's just a really annoying enemy. It's not a lot of people have complained about it. Because obviously the further you get through, there's pretty much none in the first like half of the game, 2/3 of the game, but once you fight the first one,
well yeah, games like
that
do that, don't they? They don't introduce them and then as soon as you see one you start to see hundreds after that, so I look forward to that. I'm sure I'm gonna
I will get around to
Doom, because I know I mean I thoroughly enjoyed the previous one. I'm gonna enjoy this one, but it's definitely one that I pick up towards maybe the middle to the end of its popularity. I can wait for that game to be at least half price.
Hopefully you'll be out of self-isolation by then.
Yeah.
We will see though.
Maybe.
I mean, Doom, I've not really played them, but they are usually highly praised. So again, a game that you'd recommend to play, Sud, overall?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely one of the best games that's come out this year. And I mean, that's early on, so I guess that's not saying too much, but
it's one of the only games to come out this year.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, it's to be fair, all the games that have come out recently have been actually really good, so it's been a bit of a good period the last month or so for games. But, it's really good, and I'm sure it'll be up for nominations and stuff at the end of the year, with Game of the Year and stuff like that.
Yep. I'm sure it will. So
high praise so far.
Yeah, good to hear. It's definitely good to hear. And there you go. Might as well go and check out Doom now. Not much
to do.
What
else are you going to be doing, really? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
but yeah, we're going to jump into the first topic of the day, and that's the Xbox Series X graphics source code reportedly stolen and being held for $100 million ransom. A hacker has reportedly stolen the Xbox Series X graphics source code and is holding it to ransom. This news arrives through a blog post on the AMD website, where the hardware company explained the situation. We were contacted by someone who claimed to have test files related to a subset of our current and future graphic products, the statement reads. And obviously, they were hacked and duped. But apparently, just quickly though, we should touch on, I guess you said that it's not as important stuff that they've...
That's what they say. I guess we have to take their word for it, but... That they say that, whether they're saying that because it's true or whether they're saying that because they're trying to save face, we obviously don't know. But I mean, I think they go on to say in the article that the part or whatever that is that they've took or hacked or got information from is already a lot of it's already known information,
right?
To a lot of other people. They said it wouldn't really affect sort of, you know, leaks or anything like that.
So they ain't getting 100 mil.
No, I don't think they will. I think it's more likely that you'll probably see a news story in 2 weeks saying man arrested, to be honest with you. Because that's what usually happens.
Or woman.
They think they can get away with it, and then a couple of weeks later they get the FBI kind of.
Let's have some equality here, please. Man or woman arrested.
Yep. They.
Yeah, I mean, it could be anyone. I mean, we don't know, do we? But
the mystery hacker. I think a lot of the times in situations like this is, obviously companies like this, they don't just have like X, Y, and Z code. They have like millions of different ways of producing graphics, and just because you find like one instance of what you think might be related to something new, that could have been from a year ago, that could have been improved on a
lot.
Could
be outdated, yeah.
Could be completely different. And I think there was a bit of traction with people saying like, this person's not actually sure what they have, but they think they know. So it's like, give me 100 million, is it worth it? And that they're kind of just testing the water with it. I'm sure they have a base of knowledge at least to be hacking AMD.
Yeah.
But they might not know exactly what it is that they've got, or if it does pertain to the Xbox or something completely different. So I don't blame them for trying their luck at this point in time. I mean, why not? But I'd be very surprised. Yeah, completely bored, putting their skills to some kind of use, but that I don't think they're going to get 100 million, and I don't see it affecting the new Xbox at all.
I mean, you say why not, but I'm sure they won't be saying that when they get arrested for like 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. They may also end up working for the FBI or something. You know how it works.
Well, that does sometimes happen, yeah. But yeah. I guess, do you take that chance? Prison or FBI? Is it worth the risk?
Yeah, it's
the hackers probably get off on stuff like that, though, don't they?
That is true. Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, we're not hackers, and not even close to being, but we can guess.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because this isn't like the first time this sort of thing's happened in the gaming space. I mean, different type of thing, but I mean, I don't know if you remember, but in like, was it 2011? Was it when PSN got hacked for like a month?
Yeah.
You remember that, Perks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that was down for like a month, wasn't it? I mean, they really properly took it down. So. And no, there was no online on PS3 for like a month, so I think it cost them millions, like billions.
Oh, God. Who were the group? PSN kept going down repeatedly, didn't it? God.
I don't know if that's the same thing, though.
No, I know it's something different. I'm talking about the instance.
Was it Christmas, wasn't it?
I don't remember the time, but it was that, like, I can't even remember the name of them, and they're like the most world renowned.
Yeah.
Like group of hackers. So
it wasn't just PSN, was it? They took Xbox Live. There was a certain Christmas where it went down for like a week. Do you remember? It was close to a week.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was ever proven, but they took credit for everything. Like every time it went down, it was like, "Yeah, we got you. We can do what we want."
Yeah.
And that was a pretty like it was interesting, but also quite like scary from a like how easy is it to just kill services in the blink of an eye like that?
Yeah. Well, I've just checked online. And it says it was actually a guy who got done for it in 2011 called George Hotz.
Oh, okay. So he actually did get caught then for that.
I think
for doing that. Yeah.
I mean,
it was down for like a month, and I remember at the time it was quite bad for them because I think they had a couple of games that were out or something, multiplayer games, and it was like they'd literally just come out, and it was like they were down for a month and it killed the game pretty much. So, I mean, things like that, you know, can happen, but you never really, it's funny because you never see these stories and it says, oh, Microsoft ended up paying like 100 million. You'd just never hear that if it happened, would you?
Yeah, mate, could you imagine?
Like,
Microsoft decides to pay. They would never do that because then every other hacker in the world would be like, right, game on.
I wonder if it has happened, though, in the gaming space where someone has found something really valuable and they have actually paid them because they're so scared of like it getting out. I wonder
to
if
be honest,
happened,
like you said,
I think if it's obtained through like legitimate means or accidental means, they may have paid to have something returned or destroyed, but I don't think they're going to be enabling criminals.
No, you wouldn't
way
thought
of paying
so.
100 million to get rid of a hacker.
Depends what they've got, though. So they might have to make dodgy dealings behind closed doors. I mean,
these things happen in business in real life. So why would it not happen in the gaming space?
I mean, it could definitely happen. I'm just not sure it would happen quite as literally as that. I think there would have to be an accidental stumble upon something rather than an outright hack.
What, like the guy who left his those files? Oh, those files on the train. Do you remember the British guy?
Exactly.
Oh,
was he
working
for like MI5 or something?
Yeah,
yep.
I remember that.
Just left them on the
train. Just leave some files on the train. It's all good.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it's safe to say that this person will not be getting 100 million.
No, I think, like I said, probably more likely to either be arrested or hired.
Or both.
One of the two. Or both, yeah. Probably both.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll move on to our second topic of the day, and that's no indication of PS5 or Xbox Series X delays, says GameStop CEO. In an earnings conference call, George Sherman discussed the current effects of the COVID-19 outbreak on the game's retailer, while exploring that the situation remains fluid. He specifically brought up the potential effects on next-gen consoles, and obviously this is when he goes to say that there's no indication that they will be delayed.
Yeah.
I mean, we discussed this a little bit, didn't we, on last week's show, actually.
Yeah, I wonder, though, with this. I mean, I think it's fair to say at this point, we just genuinely don't know. Things are moving so quickly. You know, they might be delayed, they might not. But I think with this case in particular, the skepticism I have with this is we know GameStop is struggling. And I mean, they've just closed all their stores, haven't they, as well, in America.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though they tried to force workers to work, didn't they, and open them, which was ridiculous. But
plenty of businesses making that mistake.
Yeah, I know there is, to be fair, but they're in trouble, GameStop, and I think it serves them to say that they're not going to be delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, if they are delayed, that probably puts another nail in their coffin, to be honest. Because we all know that, you know, companies like to get things out, you know, retailers like products to be out before Christmas because that's when things sell the most. And that's when games sell, that's when software sell, you know, the controllers, accessories, things like that. So, you know, if it was delayed till, say, I don't know, the middle of next year or even the start of next year, it's just more time that the consoles aren't out and more time for GameStop to struggle. So I think it serves them well to try and like reassure and say, no, you know, there's no problem on this end. We still think they're both going to come out.
Do you think, so basically as well, if they did come out and say, oh yeah, you know, we've got word that they are delayed till next year.
Yeah.
Wouldn't their stocks take a hit?
Yeah, that's it.
As a result, exactly. And it's already low.
Investors get nervy. Yeah, their investors are getting nervy. You know, their shareholders and things like that wouldn't be happy. So, you know, GameStop, they're in trouble. I think, to be honest, it's quite obvious that GameStop in probably 5-10 years won't be around. I think that's pretty obvious. Based off of that, physical sales are going, as we know, physical sales are going down. And as we know as well, physical sales now are going to be going down massively because of this, aren't they? Because of the lockdown. I think there's going to be a lot more people shifting to digital now. Even more.
Through necessity. I mean, I was just about to make the point, like, physical retail has just been, like, not hanging by a thread, but getting closer and closer to the end. And we know it's a matter of time. Yeah, a matter of time. It's not a case of if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. And this, to me, is just an ultimate accelerant of that time. It's going to push them so close to the edge. A lot of the lesser stores, obviously GameStop we're talking about here, is a bit different, but the lesser ones, the independent high street retailers, they probably won't come out of this, I don't imagine. So
they're going to struggle, some of them, aren't they?
It's going to be the big hitters that remain, if they actually do, depending on the period of time that we're talking about here. And I don't really understand I know what you're saying, but at the same time, it's not only that we don't know, they don't know. Like, nobody around the world knows. I mean, this is an ever-changing situation with the coronavirus in far more important terms than the electronics market or the gaming market.
100%.
So I just don't really understand. I mean, who are they trying to kid? Like, we talk about investors and stock markets and things like that, but I don't think they're fooling anybody. Like, nobody has a damn clue. Like, consoles might not even be ready, let alone available to stock in stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many variables to this, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do understand that. And just going back to the point as well about the physical thing and them struggling, and I think as well, it's pretty telling, well, just with me as well, because I know a game that's coming out, Resident Evil 3 is coming out, isn't it, in a couple of weeks, and, you know, I'm probably going to end up getting that digitally. Well, I'm probably going to end up buying it digitally because they've said, haven't they, a lot of the physical copies are going to be like delayed by a week or two. So, you know, I think if that, a lot of people are probably just going to think, well, I'll just buy things digitally for now.
Yeah,
it's funny you mentioned that. I actually checked the digital price of that this morning. It's £50 on the Microsoft store, which is
probably reasonable considering the physical is $45 anyway. So,
the place we normally use. It's 39 at the moment.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, the last time I checked, that they'd all gone up. I think because of the, you know, the delays and stuff like that, they put the prices up a little bit.
We also don't know if things will end up getting delivered or not, though, because obviously we're a country on lockdown.
That's it, yeah.
If that gets more severe, I mean, are they really going to still have people delivering video games and stuff like that?
Well, the postal services are still going. I have checked on a lot of the websites, and they still say, like, I checked on, two or three of the different ones, and they say that they're still running.
Only essentials will be running if this gets worse. Like, they'll be delivering essentials, because, I ordered some cans. Yeah. Not beer. I'm not a beer drinker. I'm not an alcoholic. No, but I got next day delivery because obviously it says they're still operating as normal. But I just thought, like, this is not essential. So if this becomes more severe, mate, stuff like that's going to be gone.
Yeah,
so everyone's going
to
turn digital.
It just doesn't even get to transit. It's just going to sit there.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. And, you know, even though I know you say there, well, we all know that digital pricing is too expensive. I still think it needs to come down. I think it's far too expensive. You know, most games are £55, which is ridiculous. But, you know, at £50 Resident Evil 3, you know, I'm probably going to be willing to pay it because I know I'll get it on the day. You know, you can pre-download it as well, so it's already ready for you to start. So,
problem
and
is
I think a lot of people
know
will
demand
start
will be
doing
there.
This more.
They'll know demand's going to be there because to buy it digitally because people are bored and self-isolating.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean,
I mean, for me personally, man, I'm going to hold off a few days. I want to monitor the situation. I want to see how things go because at the moment, we just really touched on, you can still check these sites and they say things are running as normal. There's going to be, there's no like red banner at the top saying like, hey, be aware, depending on where you live, this might not happen or you might be delayed a week or two. So I'm going to wait a little bit just at the beginning of next week and see. I don't really want to buy Resident Evil 3 digitally as much as I think I'm going to enjoy the game. Mm. It's not going to have, and people might jump on me for this, but to me, it doesn't have a great deal of replayability. I know you can. I'll probably go through the campaign 2, maybe 3 times.
The resistance mode, we'll see about that.
It could be fun. It looks kind of fun, but modes like that, you don't really know until you get your hands on it yourself. It could be throwaway. It's not, you know, I'm not a speedrunner. I'm not a streamer. I'm not going to play it all day, every day.
No.
So for me personally, I don't want to drop £50 on a game that in a week I could be done with, maybe 2 or 3, depending on the multiplayer mode.
Well, I would agree, but I would also say, you know, in the past, I'd say this as well. Like, why would I buy it digitally when I can trade in physically? But unfortunately, Perch, you're probably not going to be able to trade in for a few months. That's why, for me, I am more willing to probably buy it digitally because I'm thinking to myself, well, by the time I could trade it in, it might be worth nothing. So,
if there's a company out there who's close to releasing like an online digital trade-in store somehow, now would be a good time to do it. But I guess that's going to be,
I mean, how many times has that been discussed?
Yeah, I mean, that would have to come from...
I just don't know how...
Microsoft or Sony.
I bet there's people who have already had discussions, though.
Yeah, for sure.
There will have definitely been discussions. I just don't think it's ever going to... Well, I don't think it's going to happen in the near future because I don't think there's a way they could do it where they'd be willing to do it, if you know what I mean. I just don't think they'd... Because why would they do it right now when people are buying digital anyway?
Yeah, like, from a business perspective, now would be the worst time ever for them to do it. But Microsoft have put out quite a few surveys in the past, haven't they, where they've said, like, would you, if you had the opportunity to, would you be willing to trade in the digital games that you've bought, whether they're mainline releases or more indie arcade titles? And these figures are absolute pie in the sky. I can't remember. But I think it was something like for every, like, £40 game you bought, you got, like, was it like a pound back or like
pound back
a
or something 40p like,
or something
much.
Like that?
It was something really
rubbish. It was like 1% of the money that you've paid. Yeah. So obviously I'm not surprised
that hasn't come before yet. I probably would do it because the amount of random games I've bought, I'd probably end up making a decent amount of money. So I would probably wait
and then there'd be one game that came out where it was like £50. Oh, I'll just get rid of these 50 digital titles that I don't play anymore and I'll do it all at once.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people would probably do that as well.
Yeah, so, but obviously not like a fair trade, but
it'd be absolutely scandalous.
Yeah,
really.
In the spirit of the moment.
But then again they could argue, well, it's not a physical product, it's a digital code, but I mean, it's just numbers basically, isn't it? Zeros and ones.
So you don't technically, and this is a kind of worms, but you don't technically own the digital stuff that you bought. It can go away at any time, so you're just trading in licenses.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. I want to know how many people are going to go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just going back to kind of the whole overarching point with games, I mean, this is one of the problems for GameStop, isn't it? The rise of digital and the fact that, you know, even these ideas are being discussed now. It just makes GameStop more and more irrelevant the more that time goes on, to be honest.
Well, I was going to ask the question, I wonder how many people are even going to go back to buying physical. Well, there's a lot of people are going to turn to digital during this epidemic.
I would go back to buying physical, mainly because there's still a price difference with new games. Like, most games on the store are 50 or 55 quid, whereas most new games online, you can, if you look around, you can find them for 40 or just over, which is a big difference, really. We, you know, a £10 difference, I think, is quite a big difference. Really.
Yeah, we're not talking negligible, if I can even speak, value. It's not like £1 or £2. It's like
it's 10-20%
or 25% of what the actual game is. So it's a massive value.
And the fact that you can trade in as well, obviously, with physical makes a difference because you can trade it in towards something else. So I don't think I would go fully digital, but I think some people will go fully digital because of this, because they'll probably think, oh, do you know what? It's such a convenient, even if it does cost me a bit more.
I think convenience is like absolutely the word. If what we're in now lasts for a lot longer than is being touted around, and when we do finally come out of it, if people have been living like the digital only life for, I don't know, ballpark figure, but 6 months.
Yeah.
That's quite a long time if you're avid gamers and you're buying maybe not one title a week, but if you're buying maybe every fortnight and it's a digital copy, 6 months down the line, you become accustomed to it and you just don't go back, maybe. So I'm with you. I would definitely try and hold out, but hey, by the end of this, we might not have our high street retailers in the same way that we had before.
I think it might be a shame.
Do you think inadvertently, though, it might make people buy less games? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe not the people that already buy digitally. They probably buy anything anyway. But, like, for example, if you're buying physically, I always feel like, well, you kind of... If you're going against physical to digital, say if you bought 10 physical games and 10 digital games in a year, you'd probably be able to get 15 physical games with those 10 games because you'd be able to trade in towards others. So you're getting more of a value. So I'm thinking, would... Say if you two now could only buy digital and nothing else forever, basically. Do you think you would end up buying less games and being more careful about what you bought?
Yeah, probably. Because it would add up.
That'd be 100% for me. I mean, I kind of do that anyway these days, let alone if I was even more restricted. I would play less titles that I thought, you look at and you think, that looks interesting, and everything that has like the but as an asterisk, like it looks interesting but I'm unsure because of whatever reason, I'm just not going
to
buy it.
Game Pass, I know I can trust. Game Pass helps, because that gives you a library of games that I would never have tried. But
do you also think that you would wait for sales, like digital sales? Like maybe there's a game that comes out and you're like, oh, I actually kind of want this, but if I know it's going to go half price in 3 months, you'd buy it then maybe instead?
Depends how much I wanted the game.
Yeah, it really does. It depends on the quality and how much it means to you. If it's one of your main games and you play, say if it's a yearly release, whether it's a sports title or a shooter, and that's your game for the year, I would happily pay the digital price and go for it that way. But if it's a game that you think you might enjoy, but it can wait, that's going to be back burner for me. That could go whenever.
Actually, one thing we haven't touched on, I do wonder, with these digital sales, we're just presuming that people can afford to buy them anyway, but a lot of people are going to take a hit economically in this, so they might not be afford to be buying
games. It's such a double-edged sword, isn't it? I think it's such a double-edged sword, this. I think you are obviously right, like a lot of people are going to take a hit, especially people that lose their jobs. I mean, obviously if you're losing your job, I don't think you should be prioritizing buying games anyway, but I think it works both ways, because people that have a steady income that have got some money actually might end up saving money because they're not having to go out. So I think it's a double-edged sword, you know, with sales.
I'm actually one of the fortunate ones that will be saving money because I work from home. I kind of am
as well, because I'm still technically working as well.
But, and we're very lucky, to be fair, because like you touched on, unfortunately, a lot of people have lost their jobs. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think people's priorities are going to be buying games when they've lost their job, but I think for people that are either working from home or are being basically paid, I guess that's kind of happening, isn't it? A lot of countries now being paid to not work. I think, you know, our digital sales will probably go up because people will be like, oh, I don't have to spend money on traveling to work. I don't have to spend money on this or going
out.
You're
not going out for food every other week.
Yeah, you're not going out to bars or clubs or something.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I'd just be interested to see, though. I don't, like, you know, families, I doubt, like, the person who's a gamer in the family is going to be buying games. If they've
no,
got,
probably
like,
not.
Kids and stuff.
No, it'd be people, more people are
like
age,
us.
Wouldn't it, I assume. Yeah, maybe people that live on their own, things like that.
Yeah, I think it's really, it'd be interesting to see some numbers, but it is very much an individual-based thing. I don't think you could tire everyone with the same brush there.
No, I do agree. There's a lot of variables,
absolutely.
And it'll be interesting to see after all this how things do pan out on the digital side, on the retail side. So, yeah, by the way, do you guys want to talk about topic number three?
I think we could do it quickly.
I've got nothing to say on it because I don't play.
I just thought you might want to. Silent Hill, isn't it?
I was going to say, I mean, we briefed it a couple of weeks back and we kind of got a bit excited about it. I wouldn't mind like a 5-minute shutdown, but at the end of the day, I don't really care. It's not that important.
You can do the 5-minute shutdown. I'm not asked. I just will be very quiet.
okay.
I'm going to hand it off to you, Sud, actually. I'll say the topic title and you can talk about it because I don't know anything about it. But yeah, going into topic number three, our last of the day, and that's Silent Hill. Konami shoots down recent rumours of a reboot. I know you guys talked about this quite a bit. Well, bloody hell, it's like a month
ago
now.
2 weeks ago, I think it was, wasn't it?
What, two weeks?
Or 3 weeks ago.
Well, so self-isolation's got my time frames all messed up.
I know, it is, yeah.
But yeah, so obviously something that interests you, this?
Yeah. Obviously there was, I mean, it's funny because there was obviously the rumours 2 or 3 weeks ago. There was also rumours, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 days ago, or maybe a bit longer, that that Sony were like in talks with them to either buy them or take the rights to the games or something, or Konami was going to license the games to them to make or something like that. There was quite a few rumours like that. I don't know if they really, but I struggle to see that being true personally. But especially, I don't think Sony would buy the titles off them. I think the most likely thing would be Sony would probably make them for Konami, maybe in some sort of second party deal. But I'm not sure any of it's true. I think that they basically shut down the rumor, didn't they? That that they're even developing a Silent Hill game, which I think is disappointing for a lot of people, because Konami's sitting on a franchise there that people have loved once before, and I don't see why they couldn't love it again. And I think we need a competitor to Resident Evil. I don't know if you agree, but I think we definitely need a Resident Evil competitor, because Resident Evil at the minute is, you know, absolutely the king, really, again, of horror, isn't it?
Nothing comes close. But they're absolutely relentless with the way that they've gone about the resurgence of Resident Evil. And I think Outlast is one that challenges, but, I mean, it just doesn't come around quickly enough. We don't have enough titles of Outlast to even call it a competitor, I don't feel. On Silent Hill, I think it's a bit of a shame because the rumours gained quite a bit of traction a couple of weeks back, and we talked about it with some excitement that we were interested to see where it goes in a modern sense, given the disappointments we had with Homecoming and the likes back in the 360 days. I'm tinged with a little bit of disappointment here, but I'm glad that they did say they weren't fully closing the door on the franchise. It was more just
true.
A maybe in the future, but it's not right now. So I'm disappointed. I think they could have done a lot with it, but hey,
I have a question to you guys, because I don't really know too much about Silent Hill. Would they really close down the door or shut the doors fully on a franchise like that? Because isn't it quite popular? Isn't it a money maker?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird franchise now, though, because it was really popular in the early 2000s, obviously with the PS1, PS2 titles, but obviously, there was that, like the one you said, it's Homecoming on PS3 and 360, which I don't think it was received very well. I don't think it was a great game.
No,
there was also a Silent Hill on DS, I think, or something. I think it was on DS or something, which was very strange, which I don't think was
was
received very well. Yeah, but since then, there's not really been a Silent Hill. I mean, they did the Silent Hill HD collection, didn't they, on 360 and PS3 as well. But apart from that, they've not really done anything with it for nearly 10 years now, I think. A proper game, anyway, so I actually, I don't think they're going to ever rule it out, but I also don't think it's probably in active development, which is a bit disappointing. But I don't know if you agree with this, Pierce. I actually think the more likely Konami franchise to be revived is Castlevania. And I say that because of the success of the Netflix series. And yeah. I think it's more likely to be something they capitalize on. And Castlevania is, again, a game that's not seen a really good game for a long time. I think maybe a 3D Castlevania.
I think you're right, like, with Castlevania. Yeah. It probably would be 3D.
I was thinking more on the lines of like a Bloodborne type. Yeah, the reason why I brought up Bloodborne as well, Perts, is because a lot of people do say that that game, you know, has the gothic architecture of a Castlevania, and it's got the tone of an, you know, and darkness of sort of what Castlevania could do. I think that's why a lot of people say Bloodborne's kind of like a spiritual sort of game, so like Castlevania,
yeah, in a way. Spiritual successor in a different style of game.
I actually think that could work for a 3D Castlevania, because there's Castlevania games in the past, you know, the 2D ones are tough, aren't they? They're tough games. So to make a Dark Souls type Castlevania game, like Bloodborne type, I think would make sense. I think they could definitely pull that off.
Yeah, it could definitely be pulled off, just in a different genre. Like you say, it would be far away from the old school platforming and more of a Bloodborne, Dark Souls, whatever you'd want to call it. But no, look, it's undeniable. They already have the gothica and the gothic type settings about it, and it would be a perfect franchise to go into that kind of space, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely will. And obviously, the favourite quote on this show, time will tell.
Time will tell.
Exactly.
And it definitely will with this franchise, so there we go. But yeah, unfortunately, that brings the end to the podcast today. And if you liked what you heard, please leave us a like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also, leave a comment below, as that'll help the channel to grow with your thoughts on what we've touched on today. If you're listening to us on any audio platforms, please also leave a nice review, as that will also help the channel to grow. And pass on the pod, especially in self-isolation. We might be able to help out with some boredom, hopefully. And not actually bore you to tears.
Actually create more boredom.
Hopefully not.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully not.
No. But you can also find the Checkpoint Reach podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Check Reach Pod. And you can also follow the guys on social media. Where can people find you, Sud?
So it's on Twitter for me, at David Tenspud.
Perky.
I'm at JG Perks.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Leld, L-E-L-3-D's at the 9 in the end for Instagram. Anyway, thanks for listening to us as ever. We'll be back next week to discuss some more gaming news and probably what we've been playing more so. There seems to be less gaming news these days. But yeah, have a good week, and we'll talk again soon. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.